Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispenser. My name is Lucas Maxwell, and I'm the librarian at Glenthorne High School. This is a podcast for your school library, public library, whatever, and I do these short ones. These are only 20 minutes long, roughly, and they're quick kind of ideas, things I've been doing in the library that I try to want to share in case you find them useful. So today I'm going to talk about a bunch of things. One of them is just a display idea that I got from somebody else. I will share their name now. They're on Twitter at Teaching Year 6, and I just thought it was cool. I did not try it because I decided I already had a brand new display up, so I might do it some other time. But it's a really simple idea, but a very effective one. So if you have a display board, if you think of the display board like a big rectangle, they've got a silhouette of a head, somebody's head in the middle, and then all around it, starting from, I would say, you know, left over to right, they've got portions, sections of the board, all covered in book covers, and it goes from red to orange to yellow to green to blue to purple to pink. So it was just a rainbow of book covers, basically, and they've kind of like delineated the lines on the thing, so you can see really great books in the red section. I see Pages & Co. I see the 13-story treehouse. I see in the orange section The Bad Guys, When the Mountains Roared, The Song Walker, on and on. And then in the yellow section, you got Fight Back. You got Picture Perfect, on and on. Green, blue, and you get the idea. And it's pretty good. It's really good, actually. It's a really bright, beautiful display that highlights all these books. And I struggle with displays because it's hard. I try to change them once a month, but sometimes it's just difficult. What I will do, if we have an author coming, I will make an effort to make a display that is, you know, related to the author's work. So that's what I'm trying to do with those. And I will, you know, do my best. But it is tricky. One of our popular ones is a comic book one where I just made a bunch of, like, pow, bam, pop signs, you know, those comic book type signs, and just made one that said comic books you must read. And that's been really popular. I'm going to make another one called if you're a fan of Smile, which is the graphic novel by Raina Telgemeier. They've been really popular, so I will post any kind of reading display if I can. The other thing, I switching gears completely, just something that I want to share that was really cool in my opinion that happened to me was that I was a guest on the Dragon Talk, the official Dungeons & Dragons podcast, which I was very excited to do. I was their 390th guest, and I was able to talk about my book, Let's Roll, being a dungeon master for the amazing students at our school, and being on a podcast with, you know, really cool authors. And the guests, the hosts, I should say, Shelley Mazenoble and Greg Taito, were absolutely amazing and really cool people, and I was really honored to be on that podcast. Couldn't believe it, actually, that I was on that show, and they spent a full hour with me. I was really excited, so I'll put a link to that in the notes, because it was a really cool moment that I had. I was really proud to be on that podcast. So what else am I going to talk about? So I'm trying in the middle of this, so I will post a recap on this, I guess, as soon as I can. I decided to put forward to our staff, I haven't done this to students yet, with students yet, but I decided to put forward with staff a 10-day reading challenge. And I just emailed all the staff, and I did pick the date, but I said, if you've already started, that's fine. So I said from the 15th to the 24th of May, the challenge is simply to read for 20 minutes a day, those 10 days in a row. And I want them to record their experience. And then I clarified that. So what do I mean by that? So You can do this. I said you could do this at the end of it, the 10 days, or you can do every single day. It could be one bullet point, anything. It could be one word. How you felt. You can tell, and I would like to know what you read as well. If they're willing, if they're okay with sharing that, I would love to know what they read. I simply want their experience, and I'm going to survey them, and I'll share the survey once I've got it completed. I ask them, not ask them. I want them to tell me, did it help reinvigorate a love of reading? Did it get back them back into reading? Did it help to have the challenge? Did it help to have these rules, quote unquote, where they felt like, oh, I should read tonight and make an effort to read? Did they get, I offered to, I really welcome them into the library. So you can always, we've got some great books, children's, young adults, amazing books. We've got about 10,000 books in that library. I kept telling them that on the email, and I promoted it in staff briefing and on the and on the update, the briefing notes that we send out every week that they send out. So I was really excited that I've got just over 30 staff at the moment taking part, which is really cool for me. I thought that was a good number, and I've already had a few come into the library to tell me how much they're enjoying it, how it's really getting them back into reading. And so I have to really figure out carefully the survey, because I didn't really, like usual, didn't really think it through too much. I just thought, I'll give this a shot and then see if anybody responds. And once they respond, then I will act, which is my usual kind of method, which is, I don't recommend that. I want to like make sure I attracted both regular readers and those who don't read but were like, oh, I should try to read something. So what I did, and without trying to sound pretentious or I guess condescending or talking down to them, I tried to share the benefits of reading just for 20 minutes a day, which I talked to students a lot. Like I tried to sound casual in the email, but somebody in the staff room said, wow, you really backed that up with facts. And I hope it didn't sound, I was like, oh, did this sound like preachy or something? But it's not my intention, but good intentions, something, 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 the old saying goes. What I said was reading for 20 minutes a day can reduce anxiety, can help with sleep patterns. Students who read 20 minutes, at least 20 minutes a day, are known to do, better overall with test scores and things like that. And I just try to be, it can help with self-esteem, creativity. And I really hope that the teachers who get involved kind of rekindle love of reading, or discover a new book from the library, or I want them to come and find get a book from with me. Everybody who enters is going to be get a chance to win a like a reading journal from Waterstones or whatever bookshop. And I'm going to update you well, about halfway through. Tomorrow will be the 5th day, so I will send the check-in. Not to like who's been, who's not been reading. I just want to say I hope everything's going well. And if you miss a day, don't worry. It's the whole thing is to be relaxed, and that's I think the good thing about reading for pleasure. So I hope it works. I hope it brings new people in, and I hope it, is a good way. Hopefully it brings new teachers to the library as well. So, oh yeah. That's what I've been doing with that. And it's a really simple way to kind of like spread the good word. The good word. Geez, I don't know what that where that came from. It's a good way to kind of show what the library's been doing and getting staff involved. So speaking of staff involved, so this is just an update again, really nothing that I'm that I can tell you, but I will be doing a post all about it. I have been approved, which I'm really excited about, to run a staff professional development session using Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm really excited for that. So how am I going to do this? I don't know. Once again, I put forward the idea. They said absolutely, and now I need to think of how to do it. I want to do a one shot, and there's a one shot called. I should have this ready. It's a sheep one. It's hilarious. I ran it with Stu Wild Sheep Chase. It's really good. You can get it for free. The guy has put it PDF for free online. If you Google D&D Wild Sheep Chase, it's really, really good. It says it's 4th or 5th level, but you can tweak it to any level. this is the summary of it, and I love it. So who wrote this? This is from Winghorn Press. Free pre-publicity for Winghorn Press. I ran it with students, or almost finished it. It took, we've done 2 hours of it, so probably it'll take 3 hours, possibly, to play. So the players are resting, like, in a town or a hillside. I had them resting on a hillside. And it was a one-shot because the regular Dungeon Master had an exam, and they couldn't do it. So I just said, I'll run. I literally ran it on the fly, which is fine. A sheep comes running up to them. And it's going, you know, just running around like crazy. And it's got a scroll in its mouth. The scroll is a speak to animal scroll, which is very convenient, but very cool. And so once they use the scroll, they can speak to this thing. And they realize that the sheep is a wizard. and the wizard has been transformed into sheep by another wizard, and the only way is to use the magic wand that the wand of true polymorph, it's called. So you need to use the wand to turn them back, and the wand has been stolen by this evil wizard, who has holed himself up in the previous wizard's house. And along the way, they get into all kinds of fun adventures, not adventures, but, you know, they get threatened by an orc and their animals. And they get there, and they have, like, there's, like, apes sleeping on the grounds, who have been tired out playing a game. And my students tried to, like, sneak around them, and they ended up waking the apes up and got into a big fight. And the evil wizard turns a bed into a flying dragon using the polymorph wand. And it is hilarious. It's a lot of fun. So I really recommend it. It's called Wild Sheep Chase. So I'm going to run that, I think, because what I might have them do is start in the town and start them in a, whatever, an inn or tavern, and get them just used to the game. And they have to use, they don't have to. So my plan is this. So the teachers are going to be, They may not have never played Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm going to have pre-made character sheets. That's one. I'm going to have about six people to start. This will be like a trial, and I'm going to gather feedback. I'm going to have student volunteers who are D&D team sitting amongst the teachers to teach them, which I think is the best part of it. Imagine having teachers doing a CPD day on well-being and, you know, mental health, well-being, and teamwork with students leading the way. And I think that's, I mean, that's kind of, I think, what sold it to everybody, because I was like, this is what I want, because they'll be there and they'll love it that they're the teachers. Here we go. Roles reversed, happy atmosphere, snacks, music, a cool, funny one-shot, because it is quite funny, because the wand of polymorph can turn them into all kinds of weird stuff. And a flying bed that breathes fire. I mean, that's just, yeah, you can't go wrong. So, yeah. and then I hope that it becomes a regular thing starting in September. And then I want completely new faces. We have some amazing staff who get involved with D&D, and I want them to take part as well. But I also want some completely new faces who don't have a clue what this thing is. They've just heard me talk about it maybe nonstop. I want them involved. That's the key. So that's what I'm really hoping happens. And I just want them to have fun, really. Staff, anybody who works in a school will know that it's tough right now. And I think recruitment is below 50% for September. There's no money. Everything is being stretched beyond their means. And it's pretty rough out there. So solidarity to everybody working in a school right now. It is friggin' rough. And this is something I think can help out. So that's the second. That's the next thing. The D&D for teachers. And I will update you. And once I have the whole thing, I'll put it on my blog. Here you go, step by step. Bang. So what's next? The last thing. This has been a cool thing that I've been doing in library lessons. And I don't know where I got this idea from. I know I didn't come up with it. It is a dictionary race. It's called Dictionary Dig, But it's not the same one. I don't know where it is. So this is helpful. However, I can look for it and direct you to it, hopefully. And if you listen to this and you want the information, you want more info, let me know. I don't know where I got it from. I found it in the library. So I will recommend you make your own because it's not that hard. And I will show you what I've done. And I didn't know how students would take to this. And I will tell you that they love it. For the most part, I think they absolutely love it. It's easily tweaked to different abilities and different, knowledge of things. And that's what I've been doing. And I've run so many of them. So many. My voice is going bad because I've run so many of these activities. I'm exhausted. I did five back to back to back to back to back this today after and then I'm recording this. So that's 5 hours worth of dictionary games and for 11 and 12 year olds. And it was and then I ran D&D. And then shoveled my lunch down my throat in my car on the way home to do everything else. So that's the life of working in a school. The dictionary dig is really, really simple. I put my students into groups of five. So there's six tables, five to a table. To be honest, lower is better. You could do four to a table. I think I might do for the others, but five to a table. They have dictionaries in their our students have dictionaries as part of their equipment. If they're missing a dictionary, it's not the end of the world. I have tons of dictionaries in the library. It's a library. So they have a few dictionaries. Everybody should have one as much as we can. Then they get 24 tasks to do. Okay? And the goal is to do it as fast as they can. At the end of it, they'll have 24 words. They of course have to be accurate as well. So here's some of the questions you can do. What was it? Okay. Find a compound word that starts with the first letter of somebody's name in your group. There you go. They might not need a dictionary for that. So, but how do they know what a compound word is? I go over it beforehand, just to make sure. Because I don't know where they're at with that kind of thing. I go over compound words. I go over what a suffix, what a prefix is. I even go over soft C sounds because I know that that's going to be in there. Once I've got that established, they're off to the races. And I thought they're going to think this is maybe they're going to think this is boring using a dictionary. And they have gone wild for it. And they really, really take it seriously. They are debating over the words. They are counting syllables. So it'll be like find a five-syllable word that starts with M, that is a noun. And they have to figure it out. And it's a good way to teach them how to use a physical dictionary because, as you know, I really sound like old man now, but these kids are all on that computer thing. They are on that computer thing. And I think a skill of using a physical dictionary is some value to it. It teaches them patience. It teaches them they have to look, they use their brains and look things up. But what's been really fun, and it's becoming kind of a surprise thing that I forgot about, and I love doing. I ran this many, many, many years ago, and I wasn't even in this library. I was in another part of the school. And the best part of it, to be honest, has been at the end of the when they say we're done, sir, they got 24 words. I go over them. And I've done it so many times that now I know that number one, number three needs to be a soft C with a silent E and all this stuff, or maybe something like that. I know every single one. They have to find words that they've never seen before. This is where they trick you, or try to trick you. So I had a couple of hilarious things that happened. I said you need to find it was what was it? A two-syllable word that starts with a soft C. And I explained what a soft C was. And I know that 30 kids in a room, they're not all going to listen to. They're not all going to pay attention. So they went through, this group said, we're done, sir. I walked over, I looked at number three, this two-syllable word that begins with soft C. They had cauldron. I said, that's two syllables, but that's a hard C. I said, it's a K. And the kid, he didn't miss a beat, and it, I should have gave him like I should have let him have it because it was so such a good response. He goes, "Yeah, but what if I say it really quietly, Cauldron?" And I was like, "No, it's still a hard C." But and I laughed so hard, and he made me laugh so hard at that. But anyway, they will try, and then there's one that says find a word that starts with E that you've never seen before, and they're like, "Well, elephant," because I've never seen an elephant, and I say, "No, it has to be a word that you've simply never seen before." So once I've got all the words and I've gone through them, I go, "Okay, we got it. We got you guys are correct. You got them all right." I make them make a team name, and they like doing that. They love making team names. They're always ridiculous. The girls this morning made hashtag Save the Mermaids, which I loved. Then they have to make a short story on a separate piece of paper. They have to write a short story using every single one of those words and adding any other words that they want to in the time. So, you know, keep it in mind, they only have got 10 minutes to write a fantastic story. These stories are straight up hilarious. They are, you've got zombie zebras running around murdering people in, you know, horror, full on horror stories and full on comedy adventures. So I spin it like a weird success, this thing, and I'm almost done. Tomorrow will be the last session doing it, and it will mean I've done it for almost 600 students, and they really took to it. They really like it, so I recommend the dictionary dig. And again, you can come up with your own things. It's not difficult to do. And what I was meant to say was, so we have some groups that are smaller groups, and maybe they struggle with English. They struggle with comprehension. Maybe their ability levels, whatever, aren't as, you know, high for this type of activity. All I simply do is I cut out some of the really trickier ones, and I have 10. It reduces it to about 10 cards, and we take it easy. Okay, we put them in smaller groups, maybe groups of three, and we still make it a competition. And the winners get like they get stamps. Sometimes they get one group got books because they did such a great story. Bookmarks and things like that. And in those other groups, you know, they're getting books, they're getting prizes, but they get to not only, and they don't necessarily, the story is like a, it's like an extra challenge. And I always say it's no, you know, no big deal. And I get them maybe to just think about using some of the words. They've got 10 words now, maybe use five of the words. I just make it less overwhelming. And hopefully that makes sense. So, again, it's been a really hugely popular activity. So, I can't recommend that one enough. Dictionary Dig. That is it. That's the whole podcast. See, a bunch of different activities thrown at you, and that's all I've got. So, I hope that is okay, and I hope you are good, and I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.